So what a privilege to stand here tonight and have my wife back. Woo! Taryn, I've missed you. She's almost back to normal, almost back to 100%. But yeah, I mean, most of us are back. There's visitors tonight. So good to have visitors with us, some for the first time, and most of our troops rolling back in from travels. But let me jump into the message. So I had 3 points tonight, which I hope I'm going to get through. I know I might not have a loudspeaker at 8 o'clock. If I do go a bit over, I'll come and speak loud right here with you if we're not finished. But I'm going to do my best to touch on themes. And hey, if God puts his finger on something, we'll hold the rest for next week. But the first one came out in the prayer meeting is our unity. We talk about it a lot, but it really feels like the Lord has put his hand on unity again this year. Probably more so because we're just being spread out across the nations like never before. Home groups are starting and churches are starting. And for the first time, there's an opportunity for if you've got a few believers in your home and stuff is pumping and you're meeting with Jesus, then something can be birthed there. You know, that's how City Bowl was birthed. And we come from City Bowl, and Musenberg is kind of being birthed by the same thing. People in a home who live in an area, there's life. And I heard there's some pockets of that happening in Europe right now, where there might not be an elder or a more mature person to lead and start a church that meets like this on a Sunday, but there's believers that are walking with Jesus that are full of that power, that are walking with him, and stuff is happening in homes. And things are growing. Things are growing. And eventually, when it gets bigger, we can support, or they might partner into 412, which is, for the visitors, our partnership of churches all around the world. That is just growing and growing and growing. So where do we fit in? Well, we need to be more unified than ever before, because we need to be a people that speak with the same voice in Greenpoint, same voice, the same thing that God is doing in us, that he's doing all around the world. It's quite a frightening task, because I think by our own strength, we don't really have much of a chance. We need to be a one people, one heart, one voice. So wherever we go, it's as if we're all speaking the same thing. That's what God has for us in Greenpoint. Simple vision of unity, that we speak with one voice, that we have one heart and one mind together. That is the way he's going to bring his blessing. That's how you and I are actually going to walk in the inheritance that he has for us. That is all throughout Scripture, and it's a profound, mysterious thing that only Jesus can do if we let him, as we get out the way. So that's the first one, unity. Second is our vision of bringing the kingdom into a neighborhood, or bringing a kingdom into his kingdom, into our city, and everywhere we go, really, individually and as a group of people. And then thirdly is just, so what is our unity, what is our vision, and what is my role? So it came through, that was the second point you guys stole from me in the prayer meeting. Thanks, Albert and Audrey. But my conviction. And so knowing your role and being convinced of where you need to be and where God's got you and what your conviction is in him is actually vital to everything. Until that's rock solid, you've got the chance of floating around. And if you remember years ago, we used to somehow find ourselves with lots of floaters around. You know what a floater is, eh? Parents, you know what floaters are? You got little kids. You know what floaters are? Mark, why are you laughing? No, I don't mean that. I mean they wander. You know, people that wander. No, I'm just testing Mark. Yo, Mark. Yeah, bro, do you think I really say that? No. No, I'm teasing. But it's this thing of if you don't have conviction, you'll never solidify yourself into anything, and you'll float around for ages and be insignificant for the kingdom. Because you can't be significant if you're not built into any family of God where you're speaking with the same heart and mind as a body of believers. Because we're a body of believers. We're a body that is meant to be joined together with him as the head, every part playing his role perfectly, or her role perfectly well. That is our vision for the year. There's nothing fancy. There's no beautiful board and amazing kind of presentation. I know Rice can do a really good presentation these days, get smarter. She's like, she can do things. But I can't do that right now. I can only give you the very basics. And as the year goes on, more and more will be revealed. But this is vital, our unity. So what does it mean? Why is it important? And where are we as a group of people not right now? Well, we're in a regrouping stage in Greenpoint. So there's been a little bit of movement, people moving on, people going away, even some people coming in, and some more people looking to come in. So actually there's a regrouping because there's new family members and there's change. I think every year is probably going to look like that more and more. So it brings us to understanding our conviction and building our unity is, again, a key thing at the start of this year. We need to, as Ross shared a couple of weeks ago, really spend time with one another and actually do that. And it was amazing to just, you know, chat to a couple of people that I've been visiting for just a few weeks and just to see your desire to meet up and to hang out for breakfast and to do stuff together. I want to say, guys, like, let's keep doing that. One of the things we want to do this term, well, for the rest of summer, maybe until April, is really just encourage you guys to spend a lot of time together, especially with guys that are newer in this family. Like, if there's a hike, if there's a park run, or just invite, just spread the word. Because this is how we're gonna build unity by getting to know one another. And so we got the great privilege, and it really is a great privilege, to be small enough to do that. Because believe me, in congregations that are 150, 200, it's very difficult to do that. So what's happening in some of my friends' churches now that are 250, 300 people is they're almost saying to home groups on a Wednesday night, please for a while don't do any like teaching or anything structured, just have meals together. So things that we're doing well, and there's still a lot of that happening, they're having to fight for that so that when the home groups that are maybe two or three, like our size, they can actually know each other and have a meal. So you've got to fight for those things when you get bigger. Right now, we can do it. We're in a season where God is saying, keep doing that. Keep opening up your homes. Keep getting to know one another so that we have a friendship and a unity and a bond, and He can work with that. Okay. I'm going to go through a few scriptures, starting with Romans 15, 5 to 6. Follow with Dale on the board. I've actually got the wrong version here. I'd like to use that NIV. So 5 and 6, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement also give you the spirit of unity, and I've got, may God give you the same attitude of mind. So a spirit of unity or an attitude of mind toward each other as you follow Christ, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I believe He wants to encourage us tonight. You see those first two words, give endurance and encouragement. So we know we're going to need that. Probably we need encouragement now more than ever before. The last week, I don't know how many of my friends I've talked to that are just saying, sure, it's tough. The new year doesn't mean new good things in our country, does it? Or anywhere, really. New year doesn't mean the problems have gone. Like, we're still in a challenging place. We're still in a challenging climate in our country. And let me say, the whole world, it's not easier in other countries. The whole world is crumbling, and the whole world needs encouragement and needs endurance, especially God's people. We're going to need those two things more and more. But then you might ask, so yes, I need encouragement and I need endurance, and I see God's promise through Paul writings of the church. That's something He's got for us. But what is my calling, you might ask? What is my purpose? What is the meaning of everything? And where am I going in God? What is my purpose? And I want to say that actually the number one thing is that you and I and us together glorify God in heaven. Glorify Him. That's what we're here for. Number one, that we point everything to Him, that the world can see that in us. That's the number one calling. Everything else, especially if it's an individual calling, needs to first be, am I giving all glory to God? And what does that look like? How do you do that? Well, in this portion of Scripture, He talks about changing your attitude, changing our mindsets in order to glorify Him. How we do that is we do that with one heart and one mouth, or one voice. And we can only do that when our attitudes are changed. So the thing that we need to keep bringing to God is our attitude of mind and what's in our hearts, which came through actually in worship tonight. Just a sense of bringing our hearts to Him constantly. So what attitude of mind did Jesus have? Because in this portion, the same attitude of mind towards each other that Jesus Christ had, as you follow Jesus, as He's the example. So He must have had an attitude or a state of mind that is what the Father wanted for us. And if you break it down, it would be an attitude, Jesus' attitude of love, of compassion, and of service. As much as He loved the world and made a way for all of us, the passion of the cross, the passion of His life, it's the same attitude He wants for our minds. Love, compassion, and service. So our service to Him, as we glorify Him, and our service to one another is an attitude of mind and a state of heart that is actually what He wants to put into us. So that we glorify Him. That's our calling. That's our purpose. That's our future. So I'm going to whip through another four scriptures that talk into unity. One heart, one mind, one voice. First one is Acts 4:32. All the believers, this is the early church, were one in one heart and one mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions were their own, but they shared everything they had. In 1 Peter 3:8, another one goes, Peter writes, finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Again, all those words that Peter uses, very much the attitude of Christ, very much the keys that are in the heart of Jesus that we will follow for the rest of our lives. And then Philippians 1:4, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, one in spirit, one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. You see the service part. Interest of others. So we serve others, the attitude of Christ. But also, selfish ambition has no place. And how often when we think of calling and purpose and meaning, do we get caught up in selfish ambition? More often than not is the thing that trips us up from finding one voice, one heart, one mind, which is the very thing that God is going to use to bring His kingdom into our neighborhoods and beyond. And remember, as one church across the city, we have multiple congregations now who again need to be speaking with one heart, one mind, one vision, so that together we represent a body that is unified, that is not thinking individual selfish ambition, that is serving one another the same attitude as Christ, and He will bring the revival through us. We are just one part. Like, remember the body, when you think of us joined together as green points, every different person playing their role. But again, us as a congregation are also part of a body. Of many congregations, others doing different things, others bigger, some smaller, some in different cultures. And you think, how, God, can you? But we are joined. We are joined to every one of those guys and girls. It is a beautiful thing. And when we come together in our big times, it's like, wow, the unity, the presence of God, the blessing, the promise. And you also say, how do we get there? How do we experience it? Some of you newer guys are going to experience that when we gather together in all our congregations over this year. I want to say, come to those and experience those with us, because you get a sense of the Lord's single voice speaking through us. And what always amazes me is you see men and women, some seasoned, some new, whose lives just continually are laid down and whose desires and hopes and dreams are continually laid down. And when God picks them up and thrusts those people into more, you can see that His hand has been upon them. Each time it's coming under the vision and the unity of what He's doing with us throughout. So I want to say to us, let's keep that top of mind as we grow and as we gain momentum this year and as we meet new people. These keys are going to be are going to be part of our fabric forever. We can't lose sight of them. And then Philippians 2, a little bit later, 12 and 18. I just want to touch on this. Therefore, my dear friends, actually just verse 14, Paul writes to Philippians, he says, do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. So here's the beautiful thing. We are children of God in a crooked generation. If you can't see that now, then you need to open your eyes because there's no excuses now. What we're living in and seeing, it's crazy, crazy every day, isn't it? Like we are in that generation. We are in the last days, end times, whichever way you want to look at it, for however long that period is, we are there now. We are the children of God and we're in a warped generation. Okay? But here's the thing. If we want to become blameless and pure, which is God's, that's his desire for us. That's his purpose for us, that we may look more and more like him each day. And yes, because of Jesus, we are blameless and pure. We come to him, God sees us, he sees Jesus, he sees us as pure and blameless as we come into relationship with his perfect son. But he also wants us to go on and grow up in becoming pure and blameless children. Because he says, yes, so that you may become. We're on a journey. We're on a journey in our maturity and in our growth. But in order for us to do that, complaining and grumbling need to be taken out. And I think that's come up this year already. But I just want to highlight that again, saying, you know what? It's easy to complain and grumble when we're when we're building something. It's tough. But don't let that trip you up. Thanks, Mark. Because he wants us to grow up, and that will stumble. It will cause us to stumble. It will cause us not to grow up into the things of God. And you know what's going to happen? The worst thing is going to happen is that our witness is not going to go out to a world around us further on that says, and those children of God who become blameless and pure will shine among that generation, this generation, like stars in the sky, as we hold firmly to the word of God. So our role, for us to shine like stars in the sky in this crooked generation, we've got some growing up to do. It's not just that we come to Jesus and we're all it. Or we're in a church that's growing and a lovely family and we're just going to be it. There's work to do. There's growth. But the beautiful thing is that in Jesus, the work is done. We need to bring our attitudes to him. We need to bring our selfish ambitions to him because we all have them. Our attitudes shift and change and we go through stuff. And it is a tough generation and a tough world to be a disciple in and be a witness in. It's warped out there. It's warped, warped, warped. And also the sense of like this burden this week of like we look at this world and we often want to run. And you can't run from Jesus. If he takes you and sends you, it's a different story. We cannot run away from the world that we're living in. We can't run away from Jesus. He's bought us. Every single one of us that know him have got an amazing testimony and story. And I love that about us. This I know so many of them in this room. God bought us at a huge price of his only son, so that we would grow up and reflect him to this broken world. Such a privilege, eh? A huge privilege. And then he says to us, right now, my body, my family, let's grow up together. Let's lay down ambitions. Let's lay down grumbling. Let's lay down attitudes of your heart. And come to me. Come look at me. And I'll grow you up. And then the world will see. They'll see something different. And what is that? That we speak with one mind, one heart, one voice. How is that even possible? It's not possible in our strength. That's the glorious thing. Because as we keep getting it right and as we grow in this, it's just going to be about Jesus. And people are going to look and come flooding, fill our homes, fill our halls, our venues, wherever we're going to meet one day, probably more and more in our homes. But this is what the world is actually longing for, whether they know it and they're seeking or whether they're not and suppressing it. It is actually in every single person that they're longing to see a unity and a people living with purpose and oneness, because it's how we've been created. Okay. Yes, Lord. Just come and massage your truth in, Jesus. Continue. Continue, Lord. I think of Paul. Paul could say that he could send some of his people, like young Timothy, and send them into the world to represent him. So we want to get to a point where our unity, as we break open the kingdom of God, as we go from our meetings like this into the workplace, into the world, that when we go, we actually represent his kingdom so well. We represent each other so well. We actually speak with this one accord. I know that a lot of people that I meet, they love the fellowship of our church. A lot of people really enjoy and actually crave and even come and check us out because they love the friendship, but it's actually, there's a great fellowship. We love to hang out together around Jesus. That's pretty much how the early church grew, and that's how our church grew in Joshua generation, is that there was that strength that you keep fighting for, because it is something of Jesus' hand on his people. But then there's this other thing. Because we gather around him, and our common thread is Jesus, that if Ross, and he is going to the Ivory Coast in a week's time, I think, Ross will be off to West Africa for another week or 10 days. It's the second trip of, I think Ross is going with Will Moran now, but Luke and Holly and Ross went last time. And it's a sense that if someone is asked to go somewhere and bring something of the gospel and something of what God is building in us, it needs to be a point where any of us could go. So Ross and Luke and Will are going to do an amazing job. They've already started the process. Andrew and some of the other guys that lead our churches are also in the nation. They can't get everywhere at the same time. So who do you send? You send someone else. The most talented person, that's not really the biggest, strongest person, because it is West Africa. Got to be able to eat fish and mashed potatoes and vegetables and all that stuff and eat a lot of it and still survive and say thank you to your wonderful hosts. But it's not those worldly practical things that you look for and who's the best candidate. It's actually the one who speaks with one heart, one mind, one voice. I've seen the team operate over the years, that those that get to step out so meaningfully for Jesus and to carry his heart into the nations and beyond, the ones that are faithful to Jesus and faithful to what he's building and are unified around one voice, one heart, one purpose, are actually being used more and more. It's a beautiful thing to see. So we must pray for Ross as he goes, and for Lee and the kids when he's away. And all the time that he's there, actually, he's going to represent something of Jesus' work in us as a body. He's going there to take this one heart, one vision, one mind, and he's going to do amazingly well there. There's already how many churches looking in from West Africa. But we need to also realize that our inheritance one day will be these nations, us as a body, and us as a group of churches in Cape Town. It's a huge privilege, the amount of people that could be reached in those nations with the gospel. And really, when they look in and say, well, how are we going to build church? We're going to partner with a different group of guys. Why is this going to be different? How it's going to be different? Do you know what that message is going to be? It's going to be a message of unity. It's going to be a biblical message that runs through so much. I just touched on four or five scripts, but it's going to be, how do we get this right? We follow Jesus. Our lives are submitted. And we speak with one heart, one mind, one voice, wherever we go. Really, how do you guys get that right? It's probably what gets asked most of the time. And the witness will go out. We fight for our unity. We know our vision. We know what God wants to do, bringing the kingdom into every area that we're in through the local church. It's not bringing the kingdom through individuals with gifting and talent and because they think it should be like this and because I'm with Jesus and I can break it open because me and my two friends is not that. It's us laying down our lives in service, the attitude of Christ, a servant attitude, with compassion for people and with the love of Jesus. And as we do that more and more together, we begin to see revival. We begin to see the kingdom breaking out through his church. We are it. We are His church in this neighborhood. It's a great privilege. It's a great, great privilege for us. So that was the second point, is just bringing the kingdom of God where we are, making a real difference into people's lives. Now, 1 John is a great book. We should do that sometime, actually, just as a body when we next dig into the Word. But if we, just to pick a book about love, I mean, John, generally John's writings are full of love. And this portion I just want to read for us. Let me see from verse 1 John 4, 7 to 12. Dear friends, let us love one another, as this appeal so often. For love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows Him. Whoever does not love does not know God, because He is love. And this is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. That's verse 9, eh? And then just two more. This is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us. Now that last verse, I don't know about you, but I get a lot. I've got a lot of bat or argumentative unbelievers who go down the road of, but who's ever seen God? And if I can see Him, then I'll follow like you guys, type of thing. You know, so frustrating, huh? But the reality is that this is a part of Scripture that shows how the world can see God. And there are several others. But it's the same thing each time. If we, the church, show a love between us that is of God and of heaven, the world will see Him. That is the way that we reflect. It's very simple, but very deep and profound. It takes us a lifetime to get it right. But I just felt for the kingdom and the promise of the kingdom coming through us into our neighborhood and our areas, our love for one another is the key. It's the bottom line to everything. So our unity, and then our love between one another, and our service, all those attitudes and mindsets of Jesus that were right up front in Philippians. So my note here is that love must form in us before growth. Before we even see the prophetic promises over our life, love must first grow in us for one another. Because God is not going to give us great promises and great things to do without the foundation. Foundation word that came through tonight was great. The puzzle pieces of Michelle, the four corners of the puzzle, foundation. You see, the word that's been coming through has been so foundational. So, so foundational. And we can't move away from those building blocks. Let me jump to Romans 12. I won't go through all this portion of Scripture. But I want to ask in the third and final point, what is your conviction? So what is your, when you think about visiting here or joining recently, or even if you came to us in the beginning, May will be 3 years, what is your conviction in God for the rest of your life and even for the year ahead? Just for a moment, just think about that. I love the building blocks. I really do. You can't get away from the basics. They're there throughout Scripture. They're there throughout history. They've shaped every revival, every breakout of God, everything throughout history that we would look to and long to and say, we want to see that for Seapoint, Greenpoint, Camps Bay, Hart Bay. I'm dreaming of those suburbs. I was at Glenn and Yana's wedding, had the privilege of marrying them last week. This wonderful couple and little Maya. And it was so cool to hang out with friends who some have grown up with God, some have never known Him. And it's suburbs. These guys are filling suburbs around the corner, and there's an untapped area of people that need to come into the family of God, to come into a place where they can live with conviction, not preference. It's also on my notes. Thank you for taking that one as well, guys. But I love that God is speaking, because preference, we are in a place where we can choose anything we want, anytime we want. And you know what that includes? It actually includes which body I'm going to go and serve in, and which leaders I'm going to go and run with, and which pastors I like, and which home groups I like. And you know what? Which friends in that church are like me. And guys, Those are sucky reasons. I'm sorry. We have always lived by conviction. What has God said, Taryn and I, what do we need to do next? And there's many of you that have lived like that. You know what? God's blessing has never been far from us. Have we gone through tough times? Yes, especially in recent years. But actually, we wouldn't want it any different. Am I right, Babs? The last few, you know, there was a time in a home group, our very first home group, before we were married, where when they went around the home group and the Assembly of God where we got saved, people were going through stuff. And we kept saying, but it's just cool. We're on like a honeymoon phase. And I remember saying, just wait. Just let's enjoy it, but wait. And as you grow, and as you, but we followed with conviction every step that God had along the way, asking him, where do you want us? Even coming to Joshua Generation was a big step because we were very happy where we were. There were challenges, but there was a conviction to move, and we'd have to tell loving people who cared for us and, you know, like walked us through into marriage, a major part of our life. To have to say, we feel convinced that God is moving us on for some deep reasons of conviction. And we made a choice out of that. And we've been able to walk with God through that. Versus floating around and not being sure of where he wants me. So please, as the start of the year, can all of us, for the sake of what God wants to do with us and what he wants to do with you as an individual, son or daughter of the King, make sure that you get his word for your year, for your years ahead. Make sure you are convinced you know where he wants you. Okay? Maurice always says amazing things when we have discussions about these points. He always does say amazing things, but especially around conviction and what God's... You know, if God's got you in a place, so for me, Greenpoint right now, I've moved away from marketplace work. I'm working for the church so we can be more available for us as we grow. Great privilege. Needed to hear God's voice. Needed to know that this is what he wanted. Forced me to go closer to him. It's been a wonderful journey because you get to hear him. You know his heart. And you realize that this is going to carry me way more than a wonderful job or a wonderful home that felt so secure. One time in my life, job and a home felt very secure. And then it was shaken. And I think a lot of us are going through that in the marketplace. I know what that feels like. To have salaries cut and jobs changed and coming in for those meetings where I've been through that process. I know. And you know what? It's not just going to go away. And it's not just going to be a South African problem. It's everywhere. Everything is being shaken. Everything that we know that is stable is being shaken. Especially for some of the guys or the parents who've got kids and wives. It's difficult. I realize that. But I think the Lord is wanting to bring his people into a place of conviction and strength in him, knowing what he said. If he said that this is where you've been planted for a season, you stepped down and said, I'm going to plant Greenpoint. I'm going to go. Even if it was just, I feel a little push, then go with that, because that's the safest place you can be, because you're in God's will. You're in the walk that Jesus had for you. If it's difficult, know that it's his voice. All right. It's lots, you know, then you find your conviction, you find your security, and everything else that shakes doesn't really matter. You'll go through stuff, but it's not going to take you way off the path. Amen? I think it's going to be a journey. This is not a once-off message that we're just going to have this built into us. But I really feel like we need to grow in this. We need to grow in our conviction. We need to walk this out with our friends, home groups. Come talk to us, elders. Our homes are open. We're going to open our homes. We're going to tell you that our homes are open more and more in this season. Because we just want to spend time with you guys. We'll pray for you. We want to talk through these things that are shaking in your life, because it's everywhere. It's all over the place. It really is a time to find his voice over your life, over our life. So, let me go to the end of Romans 12, verses 1 to 12. I'm not going to have time to go through the whole scripture. But at the end of Romans, we were in Romans a little bit earlier tonight. At Romans 12, verse 9 and 10. Paul ends with this little couple of verses. He says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. And I look at those three verses in an entire Bible, Word of God. Like, I can live on those three until He takes me one day. Do I think I'll get that right every day? No. I can live and chew on that, and we can. And we'll be in a great, healthy, maturing way. Why? Because He asks us to first be sincere in our love for one another, so that the world can see God through us. That's how they'll see God, okay? Second, 10 points. Devote to each other in love. Devote to each other in love. This is how we're going to create a family that reflects God, as we devote ourselves to one another. Above all else, we live for one another. We are the family of God, joined together by Him. Different as we are, but so much in common. Profound, profound, profound thing. Put others before yourself. The service, the servanthood of Jesus comes through so much tonight. And He says, never lack in zeal. Now, notice that responsibility falls on us. You've seen that. Just as you read that, as plain as it is, He says to us, Mark, Neil, Taryn, Jess, never be lacking in zeal. What? So I can be lacking in zeal. That's what it means, I can. So how do I make sure that I'm not lacking zeal? Well, He moves on to say, but keep your spiritual fervor, which is a bit like zeal. So don't be lacking in zeal. Keep your spiritual fervor, as if it's going to be a challenge, and it is a challenge to keep that. You'll know that you will have felt that. Then He says, serving the Lord. And I just felt, as I was on that scripture, like, as we, even coming back to the kinetic walking, as we serving the Lord, we'll keep our spiritual fervor, you know? We'll not be lacking in zeal. As soon as we stop walking, stop serving the Lord, which also means serving one another, actually, which means loving one another. As soon as we stop that, we can lose our spiritual fervor and our zeal. Paul says, never be lacking. Don't ever lose that, because we'll be taken out of the great inheritance. Life will become boring. It's exciting to keep walking with God in zeal and spiritual fervor, serving Him every day and every week and every month of our lives. Yeah? And then while hoping for something, be joyful in that place. I love that. You know, we can be hoping for something and lack joy. It's true. Many people, I'm hoping for this. I'm longing for this. But in that place, be so miffed and have no joy. Paul is addressing that here and saying, please, while hoping, be joyful. Because you can in Jesus. And you can in the family of His that is one heart, one mind, one love, serving one another. It's a beautiful promise. It's something for us to hold on to develop and to go for as a community of people. And while praying, remain faithful. Now, we're going to pray tomorrow night. We want to remain faithful as we pray. And when we pray, and when we talk to God daily, to always remain faithful. It's His promise for us.